Right, so I'm sitting here with Rachel. Rachel's an educational psychologist, and she's agreed to talk with me, have a chat with me around this discussion for the National Curriculum Assessment Review, which is asking lots of questions around the needs of children with special educational needs, why they're, often not succeeding in mainstream schools, why they're being excluded. And I thought, who better than to speak to the it's like Rachel, do you want to introduce yourself and say a bit more about your role and experience?
Oh, thanks, Kathy. It's nice to speak to you. And yeah, I've worked in education since 2003, so quite a while, and trained as an educational psychologist. And it's just really interesting topic. So yeah, I'm looking forward to kind of listening to and answering, like thinking more deeply about some of these the questions that you have to ask.
Well, I suppose the really kind of question that I've been trying to understand more about has been what has happened to social emotional development in the kind of national curriculum. And I say I trained many years ago. I was a junior teacher, and then it was sort of only really when I had my own children I sort of realised I hadn't actually really understood anything about early years, and then I realised, oh, it wasn't really included. And then when I moved into mental health, I was seeing lots and lots of children where I was thinking, hang on a minute, this isn't just a mental health issue. This is a there's a developmental issue, but somehow we haven't got any tools for making sense of the developmental need when they're older. And then think, well, how's that happened? And then through informal conversations with people, discovering there was, this early years foundation stage, which was doing lots of thinking about children's social emotional development, lots of thoughtful practice around that. And then this was the bit that I was like, surely it can't be like this, that they assess really carefully about children's social emotional development, but when they transition from early years to year one, even when they've got data that shows that a child hasn't met early years foundation stage social emotional goals, that piece doesn't get followed up, and the shift is to an academic curriculum. And I've been like, is that possible? Because and so I guess that's what I've been trying to understand. It's like, am I missing something has been the question. Am I missing something? Because what I'm seeing is that whenever I have these conversations with people, it's like we haven't got a tool to think about an older child who actually hasn't met foundation stage learning goals, but it's like floundering in a system which has become very, very focused on English and maths. And there doesn't seem to, with it, I think that this is where for me the one of the disconnects is like the system has become obsessed with assessing and tracking. And yet the kind of really glaring obvious thing, which is that children develop some, and their social emotional competencies develop and are not mature at birth. Somehow that piece has got lost in the national, the whole national assessment framework. And it's like, I don't know how that's happened. I suppose, yeah. So that, I'm sorry, I've just sort of blurred you a bit, but
No, that's
am
great.
I missing something?
No, I don't think you are missing anything. And I think that's the really upsetting aspect is that I think it's almost like early years, that's your time to play and to develop socially, emotionally. Reception year finishes. Year one, we have to sit and learn.
We
We
have to
have to
sit and
sit and
learn.
learn, and we have to increase the amount that you learn quickly. You need to learn quickly. And these are the targets for this year. And then next year, you have targets. And the year after, you have targets for academic. But there are no social emotional targets at all.
Not
And
at all.
I think within there are lots of pockets of people really trying to push it. So for instance, I mean, from my own work, we're kind of using trying to train up support assistants in kind of emotional literacy support assistants, ELSAs. And that is really popular, but we need it to be top down. We need that. We need the mental health and the social and emotional. It's not like well-being of young people because without that, they can't learn.
They
So
can't learn, no.
it's pointless without it.
And the bit that's in particularly shocking is because there's lots of rhetoric around helping vulnerable children and children who have experienced trauma, but the education system hasn't seemed to grasp that if you've had developmental trauma or, a lot of neglect as a baby or, maybe have some social emotional challenges, it's actually the logical thing is to recognise that you're developmentally younger And yet there doesn't seem to be any formal recognition of that need. So then you've always got these children who've clearly got developmental needs being shoehorned into a classroom where the teacher actually has been told that's not your priority, you know, that you've got other priorities. So it's kind of a recipe for extreme stress in the adult and in the child, and indeed in the families that we see, who are like saying, a child comes out of school so stressed, doesn't
Yeah,
want to
and I mean, we're
back.
seeing it in people who can homeschool. There's a huge number of an increasing number of people who are homeschooling because they recognize that schools are not meeting the needs of their children.
Yes,
If you
yes.
are able to, then that's fine. But the majority of people can't homeschool for one
Can't,
reason
yeah.
or another.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
but yes, the developmental trauma, and it's really interesting. Through education, health, and care plans, you can get support for that. But a lot of my work is giving teachers permission not to focus on academics. So a lot
Yes.
of my work is saying, okay, so their needs are social and emotional, well, emotional, and that real core kind of they need connection, they need relationships, they need that to be able to move on. And like we're working. Some of my colleagues are training up in kind of becoming trauma informed and support training schools to become trauma informed schools.
Yes.
And part of that is obviously, if you've experienced developmental trauma, then things like your memory is often impacted upon. I mean, as you know, Kathy, it's just, and it's not just that, it's emotional regulation. Their emotional level is often that of a toddler, and you have to respond to them. And we're so good at, babies and toddlers and responding, to them that as soon as they hit like 7 or 8, they're deemed wrong or, like, oh, they just need to get over it.
Naughty,
And
not
yeah,
yeah.
and naughty, and that's just, and
Yeah.
that's re-traumatizing these young people who've experienced so much shame, isn't it? Yeah, it's devastating. It's really sad to watch, and we could be so much better. We could be really good at this, and there's so many skilled people in schools who want to just shake off that desperate attainment, like desperate need for attainment, attainment, attainment. And we need Ofsted to change and to focus on well-being. That needs to be their key. The judgment of a school should be about their well-being,
Well-being,
well-being of the
particularly,
young people and staff, and how they interact and their relationships and the connections that they make, and
And
being trauma-informed.
they don't feel, it feels to me, as talking to different people, that their schools are not feeling they've got permission. It's interesting you've said I'm given to give permission, but they don't feel they've got permission
No.
from the sort of top-down system at the
Even when
moment. They're
they
feeling like,
know.
they feel like they're being judged, and they feel, the layers of judgment, and well, what's going to happen if we get judged in this way? So they are kind of compensating for the fear of judgment about against these academics, but not feeling able to. You have to be very confident to override it, don't you, and say, actually, I'm
Yeah,
going to
and
ignore that advice.
you have to feel like you can argue your case rather than it being understood that that is what comes first. We all know within ourselves, don't we? I mean, whenever I'm anxious, I don't listen very well. Don't, I need to deal with what's stressing me out. And it's quite hard, even as a relatively well-regulated adult, to put aside my anxiety and worries to focus on what needs to be done. And so how on earth are we expecting these young people to do that? It's all the way through to secondary school. I mean, we have huge, I mean, we have in, huge issues, especially around, young people who've experienced developmental trauma in secondary schools, because they take a huge dip academically then, which is not specifically about the academics, is it? It's about their feeling of safety and well-being.
With so many adults in a second in the transition to secondary. I mean, one of the things I so we now run the specialist relationship health part. We use a standard little assessment that I developed just to kind of make sense of what was happening. And we do a very simple questionnaire. And it's been quite eye-opening, quite shocking, really, in terms of the levels of stress that even in a primary care setting, we call ourselves early intervention. The levels of stress that are being reported in the young people and in the adults, but also in when we ask some quite specific questions, which with an early years mindset on, you're thinking, does the child respond to adults' simple instructions or request? And adults are not feeling confident about that on a lot of these measures. But then it's, again, it's being missed and it's been, interpreted as sort of disorders, evidence of disorders. Well, I look at it and think it's evidence of a skill gap. It's a skill gap that that child really needs help with. So does the adult need help with? But it's, again, it's where does it sit? If it sits nowhere, but if they don't have these skills, they're going to find integrating into a complex environment like a school incredibly difficult, incredibly difficult. And because they don't, they're not experienced at managing, sort of simple frustrations, which when I was sort of early in my career, expecting that you would master it sort of early years. If you still haven't got it at 8 and you still haven't got it as 12, my goodness, it's hard.
And it's not, and it's not just young people who are, have had developmental trauma who struggle with that.
No.
You know, we come across so many young people who do really struggle with that. And when the minor things that triggers, and people say, oh, but I don't, there was no obvious trigger. I mean, you work with this so often, don't you? And when you unpick it, it's something that we don't see as something that would cause an issue, but that young person, and it does, and they experience, every day we experience so many of those minor stressors, don't we? And we manage it and we roll with it, and we can like bring ourselves back down. Oh, her voice is really annoying, or he asked me to do this and I really don't want to. We manage those things, whereas if you haven't got that emotional regulation that's in your within yourself, how on it's a roller coaster of a day. Any point you could lose it, couldn't you?
Yes, absolutely. And yes, it's not, there's no time dedicated for making sure that that is the child is being equipped with that. And so we know they can struggle through primary, struggle through secondary, struggle in transition, find employment almost impossible to access, because
It's
nobody's
firefighting, isn't it?
priority.
It's and that's the ELSA work that we're doing, the for is they pick up the young people who are really struggling already. So we're it's not
It's not proven.
beforehand, it's not underneath, it's not from
It's not a
early enough.
preventative or, a
It
strategy.
I mean, it's important, it's really important, and it's not everyone. It's just picking those, so it's not part of the curriculum. And because of the funding in schools as well, and because of the pressures, that's, the support assistants and teaching assistants we've trained up, some of them have time to do it, but some of their time is being squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. And they're not even having time to work with them, these children
Most
who really
strategy.
need those relationships, and they need them in school so that they see the same people every day. Because although therapeutic relationships are really important, they're not in school with them, and they're not there daily for check-ins or and whereas these support assistants who are amazing at creating relationships are the people who can do it, who can do those creating relationships and support, but they're just not getting the time.
You're
And
not
it's
getting the
like
time to do
they
it.
need
Every
to be put in the
It needs
curriculum.
to be embedded in. So that was supposed to be my next question. So if you, from this way you're sitting in the system and you work across lots of schools and different age groups, if you had a magic wand with a national curriculum, what shifts would you like to see that would help, regular schools be able to respond to the actual needs that are being seen?
I would start off with scrapping sitting and learning until year two. I would say year three, maybe start then. I think like a good amount of play-based exploratory curriculum. I think that's really important. And I think a lot of emotional literacy work and co-regulation work. I would love all, I'd love an increase of support assistance in schools, lower down especially, to really create those connections and relationships with young people.
So essentially with the goal to build those emotional competence early in, very proactively.
So every young person should have a strong bond with an adult in that school. Every single one should feel that if anything's up with them, they can go and speak to someone and they have a safe person. And it takes time, especially for the young people that we've worked with, to build those relationships. So they need to have that availability. So they need to have enough staff. So that's a really big part of it, I think. And I would extend the EYFS curriculum. all the way to the end of year two at least. I mean, I remember when we were talking about changing, when we changed to all these levels that just have numbers and working towards, and which is a whole other kettle of fish because loads of children just work towards for their entire careers. It's
They
just
never
like, well,
get
what's the point in it? What is the point? But yeah, anyway, so there was discussions around that EY trying to extend it all the way to end of primary. And I mean, that would in many ways be the dream, you know, to have those focuses. And changing the way that we work with young people. So instead of, because you know, obviously some young people love to sit down and do some drawing and do some practice their writing and do those things, and that needs to be available. But you know, some a lot of young people aren't ready for that because they're tiny. And they're, you know, and then they and that physical, I would also include things like you come across bus building underdeveloped sensory motor system, would that would be in every school,
That
you
was
know,
building there.
and getting parents and carers in to
Helping them understand the
certain
same
sessions, you
milestones.
know,
Absolutely, that what I'd be seeing.
really upskilling everyone involved. Because I mean, I was a teacher when I had my children, but I didn't have a good under. I was similar to you in that I'd be like, oh, this is a bit boring in early years. Why
It
are
gets
we doing
like,
this?
oh, wish I knew this a bit
But
more.
I have so much more understanding now, and I so wish that when I had my children, I understood as much as I do now. And I think they're not, I may not have been that different, but I would have understood things a lot more.
And it's also really interesting, isn't it?
Oh,
I mean, and to me, there's a real potential for involving parents in really understanding that they've got this incredibly important role as partners. They don't have just passed their children over and hope that somebody else is here. That actually, this is the science is saying you've got an incredibly important role, and actually, this is ever so interesting, and you're going to learn skills that are going to help you in all your relationships, not just with this
yeah.
child. To me, there's this incredible opportunity, and like you say, we've got talented people who just need permission and a few structures around with some clear. You know, I think you can track social emotional development. You can see the progression of skills, but we just haven't been doing it, you
Yeah.
know, properly. And we've been letting an awful lot of children down as a result of it. And I and particularly the most vulnerable, even though we say that we've got this care for them, that's not what I see. That's not what I've seen in all my career. I'm
And it's the
deeply
other
shocked
list as
by
well,
what I
isn't it? The
see.
most disadvantaged, the vulnerable young people are othered, you know, in our, you know, schools don't have the funding to, or feel they don't have the funding or permission to support them. So they desperately seek help and often end up sending them away. And so they're othered, you know, or they're taught in different places. Whereas if you have a more flexible curriculum that allows for children to be more, it to be more person-centered, so it's on their interests are valued, they feel valued and respected by the school staff because their voices are heard, they can follow their own interests, you know, in some way. I mean, obviously there are boundaries around that, you know, funding and like where they are, but if it could be more of a, we have these things available, you know, and you know, like a reception class kind of is really, you know, they are able to direct their learning more. And yeah, there are little expectations around and phonics that just needs to be moved. It needs to
Into a
be,
different place, part of
yeah.
the place,
I mean,
part of the scale. Yeah, there's a place for it, isn't it? But it's brought in too early.
and it's hammered. It's
Absolutely.
hammered. It's like, and it's if they haven't got them by this time, then what are we going to do with them? And actually, some children don't use phonics to learn to read as well. So it's like, you know, it's having a more relaxed attitude towards that. And number work should be in play, and phonics should be in play. And yeah, obviously, you want to monitor where they're up to. But the important thing is interesting that you say having that kind of social emotional assessment, so knowing where they are so that you
Yes,
can
I
see
think
gaps.
to me that's what
Would
if
be
we could,
really important.
because it's often been described as fluffy. It's fluffy, but I don't think, I think the science has moved on to the point that we can articulate what the science says. And the science says if you want a child's brain to develop its full capacities for problem solving, and is that it has to develop the ability to think about self and think about other person and think about perspectives and problem solve complex points of view. You can test, you can set situations and assess whether that's possible. I just think we haven't been recognizing those skills are so important to well-being, to, being able to make transitions, to be able to being employable, to being able to kind of come up with solutions in difficult situations, which is absolutely skills we need. We just need to make sure that we've got a tracking so it's not just seen as woolly and, we can show it. And what I mean, certainly my assessments, and they're very informal, but using the tools I've developed just because they didn't seem to be anything, is showing that we've got a lot of people functioning at a very low developmental stage. And that's why they're struggling to manage complex environments. They're struggling to manage adult to adult relationship. They're certainly struggling to manage their roles as parents because they still haven't quite mastered some of the basic things that we would have hoped that they'd would have had support in gaining a long time ago, and in particular those who've had trauma are really compromised on those sorts of things.
It's almost like, it's that kind of being stuck in certain responses, aren't they? So, and it te just takes so long.
Inflexible, and because it's been seen as a disorder, often it's been seen as a disorder where what I'm seeing is skill gaps plus huge anxiety and relationships that aren't functioning well, and no place to kind of find a place where you fit in. I don't feel that the disorders particularly takes anywhere, does it? It doesn't resolve the actual
A
skills that
disorder's
need to
almost
be
like a stamp
mastered,
saying, this is it. This is what you have, and you can't really do much with it, isn't
Can't do
it?
that.
Whereas
And then that lowers a lot of expectations, and too often contributes to escalations and discouragement.
in the long term. And I think, that kind of thinking about the things that would be within that social and emotional curriculum, and they're the things that actually carry us through, like you say, into employment, like teamwork, taking on another
Teamwork.
person's perspective, being able to de-escalate a situation, or being able to understand where other people are coming from,
Absolutely.
and to, and it is what makes society function, is people who are socially and emotionally capable. They're, that's what is the glue that holds people together.
Even things like I've been listening, to the kind of the big crisis about social care, and the skill of caring for another person. If we prioritize social emotional development, part of that includes learning to look after somebody who's younger, learning to look after someone who's a bit more vulnerable, learning to what I have to do in order to be effective. Now, if we prioritize those skills, then actually caring for people who are vulnerable would be just a natural extension. We wouldn't think of it as a less valued activity, and it shouldn't be, a huge seen as passing it over to the state. It should be something that we all,
A
enjoy
community,
doing and are equipped for doing.
and it's that kind of, and I think there are a few things like around that I would like to see changes in as well, is more permission for different ages to be in schools. So that kind of, like you say, that kind of looking for different,
Multi-aging.
is like you see those amazing video clips of nursery school children going and hanging out in an old people's home, and you think, why not? Why ever not? Why wouldn't you do that? I mean, yeah, it could wind some of the older people up, but equally it might not. And then I was also, another thing that is very American, but equally I think is something that schools could take on very easily, is that kind of really greeting children at the door. Every teacher, and you see the YouTube clips with fist bump or hugs or high five or whatever, and you can do whatever you want, but to really, because I think it gives the teacher or the adult in the room time to connect, and then it gives them a time to look at that young person and think, how's he doing? How's she doing? What do we,
Absolutely.
what do you need from me today? What
I
is
mean,
it that is gonna come from that? And I think those are really simple things. And
to me, as I listen to that, that would be like grounding our education practice in an understanding of the science of attachment and relationships and the role of the adult in being a figure that recognizes that, the child coming into the classroom has some special place in that adult's mind, really. And that once the
They're
child
holding
knows
them
they're
in mind,
special and valued, that just that can facilitate a kind of willingness to go to school and willingness and readiness to learn and try things out that they might not have tried. But I don't think we're teaching those insights, as
We're
an
not
embedded part.
nurturing.
It's there are fragments of knowledge. We really see it, don't we? but
And
it's
individual teachers do, don't they?
yeah.
Individual teachers will notice and will do things like that. And they'll say, oh, I noticed you're scrunching your hands up. Maybe you're feeling a bit frustrated today. And that kind of emotion coaching type
Yeah.
way of every teacher should be trained in emotion coaching or something similar. You know, every teacher should have, and every adult working in a school, and children can be trained up in it
Show
as well.
this.
I don't, you know,
Yeah.
it's such an important thing to notice each other and to hold each other in our heads. I mean, you can't hold everyone all at once, but you know, for people to feel special to each other. And that's why I think the staffing number needs to increase with like support assistants. I mean, would it be great if, you know, you had at least two in every class just to be.
You know, I mean, if we really took a preventative approach, I mean, like, you know, addressing crime statistics, you know, my observation is we've got a lot of kids who are being excluded from school because they're not getting this in school. Then they're, you know, they're hanging out on the streets, they're getting involved in gangs that we don't want them involved in, and then they're getting locked up, and they're actually still developmentally needing things that we saw were needed many years ago, where we weren't providing. And it's kind of inexcusable, really, for a system that's obsessed with tracking
And
that we haven't.
considering how the prison system, how many people in the prison system have what people might describe as special educational needs, you know, there's a huge quantity of people who have developmental language disorder, autism, you know, it's huge. And you just think if they had been better supported, then would
We
they be
catch them
there?
coming. Oh my goodness. Well, we're trying to put the world to right. It's very big, isn't it, this? But
It's
it
big.
is actually, I do feel like I'm glad that somebody's actually asked the question in a way that we can respond. I don't feel I've ever been asked the question in this format. So, you know, we can cross our fingers that people are going to listen and be receptive, because for sure the scale of the need is such that it's pretty difficult to avoid it, you know, to ignore the fact that there's a serious problem. But yeah, thank you very much for talking to me about this. We'll pass on these
No,
ideas.
thanks for asking. Thanks for gathering it all together. I kind of I have head in the sand moments where I kind of
Think
the
we
world
all do.
passes by and I'm not on top of things. So no, thank you for reaching out as well. And I'll try and get this data to find out a little bit more
Yes,
about
you
would it
said
be
that you
useful
thought
to
you
me.
could get hold of this data, which would be really, really interesting to have a look at.
To know the percentages of young people who staff in school think have reached or not reached, and then what levels they're actually at, you know, would be really interesting, wouldn't it?
Yes, it really, really would. I'd love to have that conversation with you. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that, whatever. So we've got to put this in tomorrow, but
Yeah, no, well done.
let's make sure we
I'll
do
let
that
you get on and
and have
do
a
that
further
because it's
discussion.
quite
I'll
a
just put
job,
the
isn't it?
recording there. Look, just a second.